Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Many years ago, when I was serving as a pastor in Detroit, I conducted a burial at Woodmere Cemetery near the Ford Rouge plant, for those of you who know your cars. Well, as I was going to the grave, a marker caught my eye and I stepped around it. The marker said, Private Eddie Slovic, 1920-1945. Does anybody remember that name, Eddie Slovic? He was a World War II soldier who was court-martialed and executed by firing squad. His crime? Desertion during a time of war. Not a single officer involved in Slovic's trial believed he would actually be shot. No deserter had been shot since the American Civil War. Not to minimize his terrible offense, but it was expected that one of Private Slovic's officers, a doctor, someone, would step up and say that he was suffering from combat fatigue, known today as PTSD. Usually that kind of intervention would spare a condemned man the death sentence. But the Battle of the Bulge was raging and the time did not seem right to show mercy. He was executed. The same fate could have awaited an escaped slave by the name of Onesimus. For a slave to run away was desertion, and it was an offense punishable by death. But unlike Private Slovic, Onesimus had someone to speak up for him. Someone in the highest reaches was pleading for him, St. Paul the Apostle. By this time, Paul was near the end of his life. He was under house arrest. As a Roman citizen, Paul had the right to a free trial, unlike so many early Christians who lacked citizenship. While waiting for an appeal to Caesar, Paul was allowed to write his epistles, to have visitors, and to preach freely. One of those visitors who served Paul's needs was Onesimus. Many slaves and former slaves and their masters were converting to Christianity. The rich masters would open their large homes as places of worship, as did Onesimus's master, Philemon. The name Onesimus means useful. So he may have been born into slavery and given a vocational name in the hopes that he would live up to it. So this leads to the question, what about slavery? What does the Bible say about slavery? Well, slavery in the Bible was not at all like American slavery, where Negroes were kidnapped from Africa and they were permanently enslaved based on the color of their skin. I could never understand why that horrible, horrible practice and degrading institution could have lasted for so long in this country. Now, Scripture has some things to say about slavery. Israel was allowed to enslave conquered pagans, but that was rare. Israel was not involved in foreign wars, but conquered pagans could be slaves. But you could not enslave a fellow Jew against their will. The Bible actually permits voluntary slavery. You could, if you wished, sell yourself to a master for a term of 7 years. This was commonly done because a person had debts or they were falling on hard times. That form of slavery as was practiced in the Bible is somewhat similar to a military enlistment today. You join up for a certain amount of time, and then at the expiration of that time, you're free to go. You could, however, according to the book of Exodus, re-enlist. Get a few hash marks on your sleeve, I suppose, and Then you could make a career out of being a slave, if you wished. Biblical slavery was a whole lot better than being a hired servant, a hired hand. Slaves were owned, so masters took care of them. Hired hands didn't enjoy rights or benefits. If a slave was hurt, well, the master provided care. If a hired hand was hurt, too bad. Remember the story of the prodigal son? Desperate to return to his father, what did he ask to become? Not a slave, but a hired hand. He was willing to be even lower than a slave if only he could return home. He hoped that the time would be right for his father to show mercy. Masters and slaves were bound by the Old Testament guidelines. If one party violated the standards, you were in trouble. And Onesimus was in big trouble. He escaped from his master. And like a military deserter, that offense carried the maximum penalty of death. But Onesimus was a Christian, and he was a valuable assistant to St. Paul. But when Paul learned he was an escaped slave, then something had to be done. He would have to return to his master, because Paul was not going to aid and abet sin. So Paul sent him back with this epistle, the epistle to Philemon, a short and sweet letter in which he begs Master Philemon to forgive Onesimus and let him return to serving the cause of Jesus Christ. Paul even offered to compensate Philemon's losses due to Onesimus' escape. He even addresses this letter not only to Philemon, but to other members of the congregation that was meeting in Philemon's house, perhaps to bring gentle pressure on Philemon that the time is always right to show mercy. Now, this epistle is more than just a personal request by St. Paul. It demonstrates how the gospel of Jesus works on your behalf. Regardless of your station in life, the gospel delivers grace, mercy, and salvation to Onesimus, to Philemon, and to you. Paul was certain that Philemon would grant his request to forgive and release Onesimus from slavery because the time is always right for mercy. You see, like Onesimus, you and I are also in bondage, not to an earthly master, but to sin. Throughout the Bible, you find references to how God sets the captive free. In the Old Testament, God freed his ancient people from slavery in Egypt. Later, he saved them from the Babylonian exile. In the New Testament, we read how Jesus freed victims of demon possession and how the prison doors of the apostles were opened. God is in the business of liberating you from bondage to the curse of sin, death, and the grave. Just as Paul pleaded with Philemon for Onesimus, Jesus pleads to God for you. You could not go to God on your own unless you had an advocate, a defense attorney. And that's Jesus Christ. He makes intercession. He speaks and pleads for you. And his pleas do not fall on deaf ears. Your Father in heaven shows mercy for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 8, "A slave has no status in a household, but a son does. Jesus is the Son of God, and if he makes you free, you are free indeed." Just as Paul was willing to compensate Philemon for his loss, Jesus has also paid your debt to God in full. Nothing for you to pay, not one red cent. As I'm fond of saying, Our Lord's last word on the cross was, "It is finished," which means in the original language, "paid in full." Now, the Bible in this epistle to Philemon leaves us wondering, whatever happened to Onesimus? Did Philemon punish him? Keep him as a slave? Or, as Paul asks, did he forgive him and free him so that he could continue his important Christian work? Early church history gives us a possible clue. A church father named Ignatius was in jail. Some of his friends came to visit him. Ignatius wrote a letter to the bishop of Ephesus asking if these Christian friends could stay with him. Ignatius's letter read pretty much like Paul's letter to Philemon. The bishop of Ephesus was named Onesimus. We don't know if this is the same Onesimus or not, but he very well could have been. Yeah, that grave I saw at the cemetery of a young soldier reminded me that when our fellow sinners deal with us only according to the letter of the law, we can never know what will happen. But we do know this. There are earthly consequences for sin and for crimes. But we have a God who deals with us in mercy. He offers us eternal forgiveness for the sake of Jesus Christ. And we, in turn, show that forgiveness to others. Onesimus had the benefit of Paul pleading to his master. You and I have the benefit of Jesus pleading to the Father on our behalf. The time is always right for mercy. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise for the Nicene Creed, page 158.